SaratogaBroadcasting.com. Frankly Speaking is a production of Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated. And now the host of Frankly Speaking, John Frank.
Good afternoon, Rick. How you doing?
Good afternoon, John. I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Good. I think my clock's 5 minutes fast in here, but so I went with the afternoon. And my name's John Frank, and again, this is Frankly Speaking. I haven't been on the air in a while, at least on the internet end. So we were trying to get the cobwebs off of my old mic and kind of move forward.
Yeah, well, you know, we've been doing okay. I know you've been busier than heck, but we had a couple good shows. One was a new author. I met her at the Saratoga Track. She wrote for the Saratoga Special. And she wrote a book called Signing for Everyone. And what it is, it's a teaching tool for parents, for children. Right now, she's writing a series. Right now, it's a book targeted for 3 to 6-year-olds with 10 simple signs that a parent can go over with their kids.
Sure.
Now, her 4-year-old nephew is already signing, starting with the book, and then she'll go up, you know, with a series. And we got it into Amazon.com for, and this is Saratoga Broadcasting,
right.
And we got her in North Shire Books.
That's great.
So she's very happy, and that was an excellent show. We got calls and emails from all over the place.
Right.
And she's down from Long Island, living in Saratoga now, but she had friends of hers call from all over the place, which is nice,
right.
You know, to hear from people. So.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. We were just talking before we went on the air. I have a daughter who's a freshman in college, who's slowly killing me, but I have two young children, too. And I have a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. And before they were 2 years old, the daycare taught them some sign language.
You were telling me about
that.
Yeah,
and I know, like, when you put the hands together like this, that means more. So usually when they're around potato chips, their hands start going like this. And it's amazing because they probably both know probably 10 or 15 signs each.
And, you know, that's really neat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good today to make people that can't speak feel comfortable when you're around
them. Sure.
And
sure.
Make them not feel out of place.
Yeah.
And a few signs makes them feel nice and comfortable.
No, it's a great thing. And even like my youngest son, Matthew, probably knows 15 or 20 words in Spanish, which I took French as a kid because Spanish wasn't that big in the 80s, but it's the real deal.
I guess
deal
so.
Now. So I'll ask him a question and go, see? I go, okay. So he, you know, he's pretty good on that.
Well, I was going to say, the only sign language I know is where you go to your head, to your legs.
That's right, a bunt.
Yeah, a bunt or a steel.
And if there was any listeners out there right now, if they would like to call and ask any questions, it's area code 518-290-6601. Well, you kind of brought up debate. Did you watch the game last night, the Royals game?
You know, I watched a couple innings, and then I watched a show that I taped. I went back, and they had scored another run. It was 9-0 when I turned. It was like the 6th, 7th inning.
I believe they won 10-0.
They did.
Night. It's a pretty amazing team, the Royals. Oh. The group of I don't think they have anybody over like 31 years old or 32 years old on the team.
Right.
But this group of kids that are, and I call them kids because most of them are in their mid-20s, they have won at every level together. They won at A-ball. Double A ball, triple A ball, and like 7 or 8 of the players on that team right now are in the pro. So they have won at every level since they've been like 18 together, this group. Sort of like when the Yankees used to have a farm system. We had
sure,
the core four and all.
Core four and that. That's amazing because I know the pitcher last night was a 23-year-old who
smoke.
Was awesome. Let me tell you, I love that leg kick of his.
Yeah.
But, they do have amazing players. I'm a Yankee fan.
Right.
And, you know, that used to be such a big rivalry with the Yankees in Boston during the regular season because Boston never made it anywhere.
Right.
But Kansas City was always in the playoffs with the Yankees.
Oh, in the 70s, yeah.
But to this day, and this is what I dislike, and why I don't really care about Kansas City now, to this day, when they won
George Brett or
West, when they won the championship this year, George Brett was interviewed, and he said, I still hate the Yankees.
Well, we beat them at every level. See, they always had pretty good I mean, they beat us 1 year when they got our head coach, was it Bob Hauser or whatever his name? I can't remember his name.
Don Hauser.
He died of a brain tumor.
Yes, he did. But yes, he did.
He was actually in the hospital the same time, the same hospital my brother was in when he was diagnosed.
Oh, really?
Yes, they were both down in Bethesda, Maryland together. Okay. So because they were doing this interleague, which it didn't work. But he was our Yankees third base coach forever, and then when he jumped, we fired him.
Right.
The year because we lost the. In the playoffs, and then he ended up going to Kansas City and bringing them to the World Series. I think they lost to Philadelphia that year, but it was
They got in.
Yeah,
but you know it amazes me how teams will keep their managers and fire the coaches. Like you know what the coach do? Like the Yankees fired their first base coach.
Yeah.
And their batting coach.
Yeah.
Now I don't understand what the first base coach had to do. What he did wrong, I would have gotten rid of the third base coach myself. But
well, not too many Yankees ever got to third base, so we didn't use him very much. So he's not too tired. Yeah, I think it was Mick Kelleher was the first base coach.
Yes.
The only thing that bothered me is he always wore like a batting helmet.
He did.
And he was like an infielder. I think he was like a second baseman or shortstop or something when he played years ago. I'm like, come on, you got to unless he got too many hits in the noggin. But
well,
like,
you know what? I down third base and first base, I would. I remember when the Yankees had, who was it? They got this player, was it Sheffield? Gary Sheffield, who was known to hit those wicked.
Rockets down
the
foul.
The third base coach used to stand by the stands because he didn't.
No, you had to be awake if you had good seats on that third baseline.
Yeah,
he could kill you with a no. I think foul ball. I think it's great for baseball. Doesn't mean I still think San Francisco is potentially going to win. I think Game 7 is probably tonight.
Yeah,
they have a really good coach, and they win. They're almost like a dynasty over the last 7 or 8 years.
They've been in four out of the last five. I think.
They've been there quite often. And Bruce Bochy's. I remember when he used to be a catcher. That's how far back I'm going. I'm starting to age myself, but he's a heck of a coach.
Well, he was phenomenal when he was with San Diego.
Yeah.
I think he brought them to the World Series. Yeah. And with the Giants, he's been nothing short of every bit as good as Joe Torre, if not more. And they got a great pitching coach, and I don't say that because he's an ex-Yankee, but Rigetti has turned out to be quite a pitching coach.
Well, if you look at both pitching coaches, they're ex-Yankees. Dave Island was a Yankee.
Right.
He started out in the Yankee system, too. Yep. So it's unusual because Rigetti was such a talented pitcher in the 80s, and usually those guys with a lot of talent don't really go to the next level of being good coaches.
Right.
But he's been a great pitching coach for that team.
I mean, well, look at the pitching the Giants have had over the last 5 or 6 years, and they're consistent, so that is a reflection of the coach.
No, it's definitely exciting. And like I said, I've been on air in a while, but I was just going to kind of go over a couple of things that have happened in the last few days, mostly local. And the big news that was in the paper today, and it's kind of a long time coming, which most things are in the city, is the City of Saratoga Springs is receiving $1.6 million grant from New York State. We'll have to have some matching, but not a lot. I think it's like 80%. To tie in the Geyser Road area to the Spa State Park.
Right,
to the and trail. Also all the way out to the town of Milton. Mm-hmm. So Milton's doing all these improvements. It's great to see Milton and Saratoga Springs working together on this. And what it basically entails is a 10-foot-wide paved path all the way down Geyser Road so you can ride your bikes and a walking path. It's going to be large enough so you can get across that bridge that they increased the size of a couple of years. And it's going to run right to the state park and over to SPAC. And so what this does is this is going to be able to tie Saratoga on the southwest neighborhood all the way to the trail system that was put in about 5 or 6 years ago off of Excelsior that brings you right to the Northway.
Right.
And the thought process is this whole Zinn Smith Trail, which goes all the way to Mechanicville. You know, we feel within the next decade, maybe within the next 5 years, you'll have a trail system that will go, and I don't know how far out from Milton, but you're going to basically be able to tie almost all of Saratoga County together.
And one of the nice things in the article they were talking about was that the trail is going to be 10 foot wide.
Right.
It's not going to be a 3 foot wide path so
with
a bicycle, comes
paint
down.
On it.
Yeah, really. You know, you get to the right. You know, it'll be a nice sized trail, and like you said, it's going to connect quite a few areas. And I know a friend of mine who was back when he was doing this. He was in his late 70s, early 80s. He used to go down like Clifton Park, I think, and take a trail, and used to ride like crazy on that trail, and then he'd come back. So all these trails are tying into each other, because one of the things about Saratoga and the surrounding areas, we had a lot of bicycle enthusiasts here.
Oh, sure.
And I think that the council's even talking about, I heard you talking at one of the council meetings, I listen on TV, even though I'm not there in body, about the Rent-A-Bikes.
Right.
That,
it was a big success for the week or 2 weeks that we had them.
Yeah.
It was sort of that worked out really well. I mean, also we figured out what problems we have.
Sure.
Skidmore has it right now. Where they do it up at the campus, they have Rent-A-Bikes.
Oh, they do.
So they have their program. So Mayor Yepsen, through her department, through the engineering and building departments and all those various other departments, and Brad Burge are working, and Kate Maynard especially, are working now with Skidmore, because they want to try to make this at least a six-month type situation, because they have like GPS on the bike. So
if you try to steal the bike. Right. I think it's fantastic because, it'll help clean a little bit of traffic off of Broadway. Maybe not a lot, but every little bit helps.
Right.
And for exercise, it'll get people out and riding bikes more.
Right.
I think it's a fantastic idea.
Sure. I think it's a great idea. You know, again, if you're at home listening, 518-290-6601. You can ask Rick or John any questions. I always tell this funny story. They had a whole bunch of people there yesterday. It was very well attended. And we were right over by Geyser School. And to show you how paranoia works in politics, I had been in office, I was in my second year of my first term. It was like early, like spring of 2007. And at that point, my deputy was Michelle Boxley.
Right.
I think she was born in Auburn, New York, but her dad was a teacher. I mean, basically from the time she was a baby, she's very well known. Michelle McGraw.
And Mr. McGraw. The family's
right,
well known.
Right, and they live right down the street from you, actually, not too,
the
McGraws. Yeah. And so she goes, Matt B., and I knew Matt a little bit, but he wasn't involved in politics, but he was really, the family's big in the Republican Party. And she called me up, she goes, I set up an appointment with Matt Beach. He wants to meet with you. And I'm like, well, what does he want to talk about? Well, he says it has nothing to do with the trail system, but I'm not buying it. I think he's running for office. We hear he's running for office. Like this, right? I'm like, okay. So I'm like, you do your due diligence to see, Matt Beach, date born, how tall, where he lives, blah, blah, blah. So he comes to the meeting and was in their accounts department. And he came with Molly Gagnon. Who's big in the Southwest neighborhood.
Right.
So they sit down and go through this whole, and this is when it started, of doing this. This is how long this has been. It's 9 years ago, 8 years ago.
So that's when the concept was.
Right. And the reason Matt did it, because he lives right by my mother, and he lives right in the corner of Casino Drive in Geyser.
Right.
And he has two young kids, and they were very young at the time. And he said, for me to go directly across the street, where the fields are, the Geyser Field.
Geyser Field.
There was no entrance at that time. He would have to actually get in the car, put the kids in the car, and drive half a mile, because he had to go loop all the way around And he said, I don't have any way of walking there. We can't get across the street. We'll get killed anyways, even if there was an entrance.
That's a tough road.
So they came up with this, and it made me feel much better after the meeting, because I said, I don't think he's running for Commissioner of Accounts.
Right.
And, because he would have been a tough opponent and met good relationships.
Oh, sure you
But don't. He was running for supervisor.
For supervisor.
Right. So I just always remember that meeting. But that was, and I'm like, when do you think you can have, we're looking by 2010 having this finalized. And they were really pushing it hard. Well, it's, almost 2000, it'll happen in 15.
Right.
When it finally gets done. But it just to give you the basic paranoia that works all times in politics.
that's politics. Sure. Politics is half paranoia and half trying to please your constituents.
Right. And then the third half is all true, right?
That's right.
as Yogi Berra would say. Mayor Yepsen, when she first came in office, and she worked with Matt before Matt was in office also, because Matt brought this to the supervisor, she was able to get some early funding on this. So her and this has been Matt's bailiwick, but her and Matt worked very well together. So when she came in, she really pushed for this.
Yeah.
And Brad Burge kind of came out of the blue and says, well, this is funding through New York State that we've never approached. And she says, go for it. And boom, a couple months later, we got it.
Sure.
So it's really, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, because I used to live there. I used to live right off of Adams Road.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same thing. We couldn't drive to this. We used to have to put my daughter in my bicycle. Well, I could have made it, and my daughter didn't really want to go up the hill as part of it. But we would put them into the Jeep and run over to the park, mm-hmm. and then park there, because it was just not safe at that time to ride your bike on Geyser Road.
Oh, yeah.
And that bend, the bridge was a little bit narrower. It's gotten a little bit wider. So I really think that's going to open up the Geyser Crest area. I think it's going to help home values. I think it's going to do a lot of different things.
And don't forget, Geyser Crest is almost like a little city in itself.
Yeah,
it's not a small development by any means.
No, but if you take the Southwest neighborhood, that's 20% of the city. It's one-fifth of the city. You know, I think they've talked about seceding a couple of times, sort of like Montreal has out of Canada, but they haven't, you know. Thank God. So
that's pretty good.
Yes, and that along with us, I guess we are considered the happiest city.
Happiest city in New York, small city in the country, and there were a few gauges they looked at, you know, crime and median income, at different things like that, and we topped them all. So that's another feather in Saratoga's cap.
Sure.
Saratoga is a unique city. I have a Facebook friend who I've never met. He's a friend of a good friend of mine, and lives down on Long Island. And we were on the other day and commenting about this other friend of ours who's an attorney, and we were bashing him and jokingly.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I'd like to fly up to Saratoga. And I said, well, if you do, I'll take you out to lunch. he said, well, when's a good time to come to Saratoga? And I said, you know, anytime really is a good time to come to Saratoga. We're very fortunate here. You can go downtown on Broadway on a Sunday, and you would think it was a Friday afternoon.
Sure.
And you can't say that about too many cities.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And we really have a lot of things going on in Saratoga for a lot of people, so people like to take advantage of that.
Right. I'm sure Caroline Street doesn't hurt either to kind of make people happy.
Oh, Caroline Street always makes people feel happy. Oh, I got a bit of news for you.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew have you ever heard of the Schenectady Holiday Parade?
No, I'm not familiar with
it. You're not familiar with it?
I mean, I probably know it from a kid or whatever.
It's been a 30-year event, and I remember when Harry Downey was alive. He used to ride a white horse.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm the Grand Marshal of it this year.
You're the Grand Marshal of
the Schenectady Holiday Parade because of my Lieutenant Governor of Kiwanis this year.
Okay.
Schenectady Club is in my division, and they're emphasis this year is on youth, so they called and wanted to know if I'd be the Grand Marshal. Now I'm getting a little afraid, though, John.
What's the date for this?
It's November 22nd,
okay.
And we all know what happened on November 22nd, and I'm riding in an open Cadillac.
And you're sitting
in the back seat.
And your wife's not wearing pink and a hat.
My wife's not showing up. I'm bringing two tall Kiwanis members with me to sit on either side. And did they bust me at the meeting last week when I told them I was doing it. They said, you know what day that is, don't you?
Wear a helmet.
I know. Oh, gosh.
We might want to. So that's a Saturday?
It's a Saturday from 5 to 7, and it's a very large parade. Schenectady really does a
we may want to try to think if we get some of this equipment down there and do a live show.
That would be fun. I'll tell you. It would be fun. They really do a good job. It's an old parade. They've had it for years and years. Matter of fact, Jane Golub is the MC. She's on the reviewing stand. Along with one of the Channel 6 anchors, it's televised.
Right. Okay.
And they announce who's coming down, you know, like the Macy's parade,
sure.
They announce who's coming down. So it's really a big affair for Schenectady. So,
it
should be a lot of fun. We'll see what happens.
Hopefully nobody named Sabruder has camera with them as you're driving by.
Hopefully.
That's exciting. So they open it. That's the holiday. That's still 4 or 5 days before Thanksgiving. So
And that's the start of their
And they do it in the evening, so everything's lit up.
Yep. And, you know, I kind of thought that would be neat for Saratoga to do, is have a holiday parade before Thanksgiving to turn the lights on.
On the tree.
On the tree and that
great
on
idea.
Broadway. That you know, that would be an interesting event. Have Santa at the end of the parade like Macy's does, you know, come on down, because we do have a hut there for Santa and Mrs. Claus. And
no, I think that's actually a great idea. I mean, we obviously had the Victorian Street Walk, which has been a huge success, but it's, you know, underwriting something like that through the DBA or other things, I think would be a great idea.
Yeah.
Because even our small parades or memorial parades are still heavily attended here.
Oh, so big.
And I think with the obviously the shops downtown would love it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, other thing I was just going to, being we're on the Veach family, is his dad, Mike Veach, who was a school teacher, and I think he's retired now, but when I went to Saratoga High School long time ago, he's our resident expert in thoroughbred racing.
Yes.
Thoroughbred racing.
Yes, he is.
History has an article in the paper once a week in the Saratoga, and a great guy. I know him through the National Museum of Racing. He sits on the board there. I thought he wrote a wonderful piece. I don't know if you read that today in the paper or not.
No, I didn't get to it.
It's in the sports section about the discussion that we're going to an eight-week meet as early as next year.
Yeah.
And I talked to some of the powers to be, and it looks like this is being strongly considered.
You think so?
Yeah. And you're talking from July 16th to September 7th, and then they're going to have two dark days. Now, before I even get into what he says, you know, you worked there for a number of summers. You're very familiar.
Yeah.
You know, what were you hearing this summer, and what are you hearing? Because you do a lot of horse racing shows. What have you been hearing?
Well, here's how it started out. And, you know, it started out as a lark, I think, and it ended up picking up steam. And I'll tell you why. One of the board members was on a radio show, and a local radio station, and he jokingly said, you know, I think we'd like to expand the Saratoga meet. And so the announcer said, well, how long? And he said, well, I'd love to have it 10 weeks or more. I love Saratoga.
Yeah.
Well, he was kidding around. Well, then it got in all the papers that Saratoga wanted to extend the meet. A board of directors said this. So the board member had to go back on the radio show 2 days later and say that he had just said that in jest, that it wasn't even on the table yet.
Sure.
And talking about, well, in those 2 days, every paper picked up on that and said, expansion ready to happen,
right.
You know, ready to go. Then by the end of the meet, they were seriously talking about it going on. I know Mike is against it.
Yeah.
And I had Joanne Yepsen on the show Saturday on the Skidmore show. And she's not for it.
Right.
Excuse me. And I think one of the reasons why, I wouldn't be for it myself, I think one of the reasons why is that, you know, when we have the 6 weeks now, and we Saratogians miss out on a little bit of their summer, having Saratoga to themselves
sure.
for the summer.
That's a good point. I didn't think of that.
The people that come up for the meet would have to extend their expenses
sure.
to cover that time period.
Right.
NYRA has employees that come up from New York that they have to pay big stipends to,
right.
and they're union people, so they have to pay the bigger salary than the locals.
Sure.
And that would have to be more of an expense.
Right.
And I'll tell you, it's been my experience in the last 3 years that I worked there that July is never busy. I mean, you get crowds of 7,000. You'll get an opening day crowd maybe of 16,000, 17,000. But then you get very little, 7,000, 8,000 people.
Right.
But on August 1st, you can tell the electricity is in the air.
Sure.
Yeah, you can feel the electricity. And not that July is like not worth having. But I tell you, 40 days, I think, is enough.
Right. Well, they're still talking. They're talking about going to an eight-week meet but having two dark days, so it would still be 40.
Yeah.
But they're having a tough time in some races getting enough horses at this point. I, you know, his concern was, you know, it was originally 4-week meet.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, originally it was a 36-day meet back in the turn of the previous century. So,
right.
But it was every day. It was condensed and,
sure.
and whatever. But you know, we went from a 4-week meet to 5-week meet, 5.5-week meet, 6-week meet, 6-week meet plus 4-day. You know, so this has grown, and this all started basically in 2003. And what he puts in his article, from 2003 to 2013, attendance has dropped 25%.
Mm-hmm.
So the longer you make this product go, in actuality, less people come.
Sure. And you know, you're right. And I remember coming up, you know, in my late teenage years and early 20s when it was only in August, and every day there were only 9 races.
Right.
You didn't have these 10, 11, 12 races.
There was a little bit bigger gap between races, too.
There was.
Time-wise, yeah.
There was. And that was okay. But
right.
you see, that's, as you said, the watering down of the horses
right.
didn't happen because
right.
you had 9 races.
Right.
And I think it's a mistake, just from the standpoint, like you said, the horses, the attendance has dropped. The attendance is not picking up. As a matter of fact,
they were counting those day passes, the 6,400 days, whether you came or not.
Right.
And
you
obviously,
know, over,
that wasn't the case.
I don't know how many there were. I don't know if it was
6,400
passes they were using in their attendance figures every day. One of the things that, and I know there was a gentleman who writes a blog, Tom Noonan, and it's a very good blog, actually. He's an attorney from down New York way, I think. But he had taken pictures from across the track where the Sheik's Barn is.
Right.
I forgot the name of the stables over there. Took a picture of the stands. And I think Naira had announced there were 18,000 people that day, and there was nobody in the stands. Yeah, it was empty. So, but I think where Naira is coming from on this is their simulcasting money.
Okay.
See, they make an awful lot of money from Santa Anita, from Chicago tracks, any of the Louisville tracks that are open.
But wouldn't they make that same amount of money if Belmont was still open?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think it would, but see, Belmont, I mean, the smallest day at the track, if you divide by 3, is the largest day at Belmont.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And Belmont's even worse because it's so large.
Oh, my
God. You've got 20,000 people there, and it's a ghost town.
Oh, and it's a ghost town.
I've been to Belmont, driving down with my Elk buddies back in the 90s. They have attendance of like 800 people,
100
people.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the problem, see. And I'm afraid, too, John, that it's going to cheapen the uniqueness of Saratoga racetrack.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we stand, our racetrack is a jewel. We put it out there. It's 150 years old. It's like people from all over the world come to see it. And, you know, if it goes longer, what's that going to be? I mean, is it going to cheapen the uniqueness of
the experience? Yeah, I think it's going to hurt the
experience,
brand. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, he basically, everything that you said, he, you know, and even the passes, I had a pass. I didn't go every day. I probably went 10 times.
Right.
But when you came in, they put a wand over the pass. So they knew who came in with what passes.
Oh, sure they
so
did.
So why they would count the whole 6,400 is kind of a mystery.
Well,
they actually, I mean, I know why, for PR purposes. But
for
at the end
PR
of the,
purposes, they said they likened it to, you know, if you buy a season pass to a basketball team and you don't go to the games, they still count your ticket as.
Right.
But that's something different altogether. And I think
right.
Mike,
so 14,
that.
Yeah, explain the difference because definitely I didn't get the feel. I mean, it was busy on some of the weekends. And,
sure.
And
oh, yeah.
Whitney was really busy. I remember.
And Fridays, Saturdays,
Alabama.
And Sundays.
Yeah, we had great weather and it was packed.
Matter of fact, the changes they implemented in their racing programs for, they had these special days like the 4th of July, and the Whitney actually paid more in purse money than the Traverse did. The Whitney paid $1.5 million, and the Traverse only paid $1.25. But the Whitney was more like the Traverse this year.
Sure.
The
it was,
people
I
that was
packed
the atmosphere, the and when you work there, you can tell because you're on the lookout for different things. And normally, that only happens on Traverse. But every Saturday, we had that
right.
Now, I don't want to say it's a problem, but, you know, that experience. And so what they're doing as far as turning attention to the racing is good. I don't think extending it. I think Mike hit on a point here. And Mike is very well respected.
Sure.
All around racing as a voice.
Yeah, I when I originally heard it, I know Charles Wake came out with an article against it. But when I talk to people behind the scenes, they're like, it's coming.
Yeah, I know.
And I thought it was coming a couple of years down the road, but it sounds like next year this may be the experiment. Makes it hard for people. It's already hard to rent houses. Now, we used to have different seasons. You know, you'd have the orchestra come in or your ballet, and so you could kind of get a couple different hits on your houses. This was pre-condos and pre-all these hotels in the city. You know, it really has made it a little bit more difficult for area residents.
Yeah.
Again, if you're listening, it's 518-290-6601. So, yeah, I think it's going to – are you going to be there next summer?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I I'd like to because it's a nice thing for me where I am. Plus, I get to meet a lot of people and push our radio station.
Yeah.
But I'll have to see, because what it ends up meaning, here's another point that the powers to be don't look at. They're trying to make this more attractive to somebody to lease this track, because
right.
it's state-run now, and Cuomo doesn't want it to be state-run.
Right.
So they're going to come up with a report, and there's talk under the radar that Churchill Downs may take over the lease. I think it's a 15-year lease left.
Right, and that's one of the reasons why they came up here and partnered with the Racino.
With the Racino.
Right.
So, but what happens is that we work a six-day week, 42 hours a week. So we make 2 hours overtime. Now, if you go to 5 days a week, you're going to work 35 hours a week.
Right.
So there's... No, you're going to lose five hours and then 2 hours of overtime.
Right.
So is it worth what we get paid to work there?
Right.
That's the problem.
And we get somewhat privatized where Churchill Downs takes it. That's the whole – I mean, right now it kind of works out well, if I understand it, because Belmont closes.
Right.
And then you're able to take those people
mm-hmm.
who are trained, obviously, and they come up here.
Right.
If Churchill Downs takes it, everything changes.
Well,
those people won't be coming up, most likely, because Naira would be out of it, right?
Well, Naira will be out of it, but Churchill Downs will run the lease like Naira does. They will take over Naira. There won't be any more Naira.
Oh, okay. Because I was under the understanding that they were really just focusing on Saratoga as a standalone.
No.
You're talking about Belmont.
They
and
will
Aqueduct
take over
too?
The three. Yeah, because Naira is the corporation that runs the three racetracks.
Right.
So whoever takes the lease gets the three racetracks.
And when is this expected to happen? When's that?
Well, they're supposed to have this board is supposed to have their recommendations by the end of November to the governor. But they could recommend that they run it for another 2 or 3 years.
Naira.
But that has to go. If that's the case, the Assembly and the Senate has to pass that.
Okay.
See, because the deal is that by 2015, by the end of 2015, it has to go up the bid for another outfit to take the lease over.
Another operator.
That Naira has to be out of it because they don't want, the state does not want to run it after 2015.
Okay.
So
we're going to have big changes no matter what.
We're going to have big changes, yeah. And who knows how Churchill Downs will run it. I mean, yeah. You know, what's that saying? The devil you know is better than the devil you don't know.
Right.
I mean, who knows?
Right.
You know, it's a
well, horse racing. I was just talking to another horse racing enthusiast yesterday, and he said they did a study 20 years ago, and the average age of a person who went to the track in 1994 was 53 years old. The average age of the person that goes to the track in 2014 was 73 years old.
Yeah.
So they don't have that younger crowd coming. Now, Saratoga's a little bit different, but on the average
track, they're
losing that youth.
You're right.
A couple of tracks have closed in the last year or so, and it's tough.
And that's one thing that racing in New York has been addressing for like the last 5 or 6 years is how to bring that younger generation in to bet money. Seems like the younger generation likes to come in and party.
Sure.
And that's not what you want to get them there for. You want them to bet that money.
Right.
So it's a tough, you know, it's going to be tough for horse racing. Like you said, racetracks are closing. Yeah. And there's no magic formula.
There's so many options out there right now.
That's right.
But I think they've oversold the slots. The slots that have gone into, like, Pennsylvania and these other tracks, the states end up clawbacking a lot of that money.
And
it's just a matter. And once they claw back that money, the purses go down.
That's right. Well, look, at our governor has called back $500,000 of our
VLT
money. With a chance of maybe more.
Thing, yeah.
So we don't have a control of that. And that puts us in a bind at budget time.
Sure.
When you guys have to try and scramble to come up with another $2.3 million.
Yeah.
How do you do that today?
Right.
So now you have to look down. Now that's a bump down the line all the way.
Right.
Paid parking, whatever.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's just...
I've been trying to get the city council to wean themselves off of that mounts, and they say, "Yeah, we can't believe in this money. I mean, we're going forward, but they still budget the same amount every year."
Yeah.
You know, my plan was to take a half to a third away, and then once it's out of there, if you get it, we get it, and it goes into a reserve, and we can use it the next year. But if we don't get it, we don't have to go through what we went through in 2009, where we had to lay everybody off.
That was terrible.
But the same conversations I've had with Commissioner Ivins are the ones I've had with Commissioner Madigan, and I'm getting the same answers. And I understand why, because it's, you know, it's easy to have that budget. But if we do, you know, you have to remember, there's a lot of things that are going to be had. I'm not sure I'm going to vote for the budget with some new things this way. But what you have to understand is we have the end of November to vote on this budget.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe it's going to be voted on next Monday. We have our meeting on Monday versus Tuesday night because of the election day.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's a mistake, but I think by the end of November, we very well may know who's going to get the casino rights.
Exactly.
And if it's not East Greenbush, that's going to have a dramatic effect. We're going to have an effect here anyways because we've lost the casino. And
right.
But it'll have a dramatic effect if it doesn't go to East Greenbush. And right now, the three in play are East Greenbush, Rensselaer, and Schenectady.
Yeah.
And I think Schenectady's the odds on favor potentially of getting it.
They are. They are. I was down at a meeting in Schenectady, and some of the business people down there feel very comfortable because of the that was a screwy, I don't mean screwy, but that was a very arduous task to figure out how to place these casinos.
Sure.
And I think one of the things they were looking at, number one, do the people want it? But number two, the economic condition of the area.
Right.
And let's face it.
Schenectady.
What is the hardest hit city in this area? Schenectady.
I don't mean it in a bad way, but they do have you as a Grand Marshal of the parade.
Yeah. Yeah, when they sink that low,
I've seen some.
Yeah, you see something happening here. But.
You might, but if you know, if they do get it right around there, you will be a hero too.
That's right. You know, maybe they'll pick me to cut the ribbon at this opening.
Big, that's big.
But I mean, it's Schenectady is very bad in economic condition because of the GE. I mean, when GE was going, that city of Schenectady was hopping.
Yeah.
But so economically challenged city is Schenectady of the three. In the area here.
Right.
And like you say, I don't know if we will still, I think we'll still make a little money off of the if it's Schenectady County gets it.
Well, correct. It goes to Saratoga County, doesn't go to the city of Saratoga Springs.
Oh, we don't get it.
No.
Oh, okay.
We don't get anything, right? It's sort of like if you're a satellite, if it's in the county, you get more.
Right.
If it's in the city, you get a lot more. If it's a county that's contiguous to Saratoga County, the county gets the money, and then they distribute it, or not distribute it at all. They can keep it and use it for whatever.
Oh.
So, but my concern is if it does go to Schenectady, if it doesn't go to East Greenbush, then the place here in Saratoga is going to go down significantly, and clearly our VLT money will go down with it.
Oh, most definitely.
And that's what I've been trying to preach, and nobody wants to hear it. You know, at these budget meetings, and they're like, well, you're against the zero budget. I said, no, I'm not against the zero budget, but I am against, it's like being stuck on oil.
Well, you're a realist.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've been there. I was actually there before along with Commissioner Scirocco, so I know And I tried to do this the last time, and it was dismissed. And I know how bad it was. Picketing and threats, and it, you know, you got rid of this and you got rid of that, and how short-sighted. We didn't have any money.
Well, I think they should take your advice and wait until the last possible time to vote on the budget, because, like you said, the decision will be made, and you can deal from a little more strength.
Sure.
But on the other hand, I think they should be listening to you also about weaning themselves off of that, because you don't want to lay another 50 people off of DPW, and how many policemen and how many firemen. And
even if you're 90% sure you're going to get it, the 1.8 next year, I still think it makes a lot of sense to lower the 1.8 to 1.2.
Sure.
And then the next year from 1.2 to like 600,000. Yeah. And then by the third year, it's out of the budget. So you've weaned it over a three-year time period. You get it. That's great.
Yeah.
You let it sit in unrestricted reserves. And then in the future, you've taken that out of the budget, out of the revenue line. The other revenue lines have caught up with it.
Sure.
And it's out of sight, out of mind. And every year you get it, it's Christmas. And if you don't get it, that's okay, because you didn't budget for it.
You didn't budget for it. And then, and there's another way to look at it, is after next Tuesday, Governor Cuomo will be elected again. And he can do anything he wants. Where, you know, if it happens, it's just too much of a gamble, I think, to pass the budget too early with what's going on.
Right. I agree. I believe it will be passed on Monday.
Yeah.
Well, 4-1 or 3-2. But I'm just a CPA. What do I know?
And do you find? But do you find, John, in politics that most politicians, I know you're not this way because you're very vocal on anything. I mean, you'll talk about any issue with anybody, but they're more worried about how it makes them look rather than doing something and having people be upset with them about it.
Yeah, I find a couple things that most politicians are like that. I find the other problem they have is who the party heads are. So they have a lot of sometimes they'll do things very unpopular, not because they want to, it's because they were told of what to do, and you get that. That's one nice thing about the Democratic Party. People, it's like herding cats. Yeah. So therefore, you know, it really it doesn't stick quite as much. And but also that's why we don't quite have the uniform working together well, because you got four or five different people saying different things. But yes, that happens quite often. And the bottom line is, getting reelected, and many people say it's most about yourself and second about not having an opponent. So that's kind of the
plus the fact that it's a 2-year term, and you're kind of more, you're thinking more about that because you have a short time. You know, we have just about 3 minutes left.
Well,
2 minutes.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd go this long, so that's great.
It is.
I think there's a clear way of correcting that issue, and I think the city of Mechanicville does it the right way. They're the only other city in New York State that has the commission form of government. And they have 4-year terms, and you can't be there for any more than 2 terms in that office.
Yeah.
And so you have 8 years, and they stagger the terms too. So because they don't want everybody to get wiped out.
Oh, yeah.
And then have 5 people don't know what they're doing, take over the government for the next 4 years. So they'll stagger one of the or two of the different races. That does a lot of things. Now, if you win, then if you stay out for 4 years, you can come back and run for a different office.
Okay.
But after 12 years, if you want to do that, you know, that's a great.
Yeah.
God bless you. And it's happened a lot in Mechanicville. But I think that's what they should be doing here at the city.
Well, 4-year terms also, you know, it's very hard for a candidate to do long-range planning when you're get elected for 2 years, because, you know, it's a hope and a prayer you're going to get reelected again. Most of the time you are, but at least with 4 years, you've got your learning curve for somebody new coming in, and you have some help with somebody that's been in office because you staggered your term. And you can plan on maybe a 3-year project out and get it accomplished.
Right.
And rather than having, maybe you get beat after you've been in 2 years, somebody else comes in and wants to go in a different direction.
Right.
You know, so like you say, there are different ways to do it, but I think a 4-year term is good and staggered, and with a term limit too. So,
well, you know, at the end of the show for today, thanks for getting me out of the rust pile a little bit here, but
it's okay.
We'll meet a couple times next week. It's going to be a little difficult because of the election day, and I'm the election inspector, so I will be going through all the we can set something up either next Wednesday or Thursday. We'll get back and we can post and get some guests in here.
That'll be fine.
And it's like riding a bike. It's all coming back.
It is. And it's a lot of fun, too.
Once we figured out how to get the promo going at the beginning, That's right.
Well, I got the button I'm leaving on.
Work very hard on trying to go mobile for the November 22nd.
That's right. Yeah.
That would be actually.
That may be tough.
Maybe Elizabeth Bishop. She lives in Saratoga.
Just bring the camera and don't have a guy with a black umbrella standing on the corner.
Is there any grassy knolls there?
I don't know.
All right.
All right, John. Thanks. And everybody have a great great day.
That's exciting. You know, we're